Chapter 9. Eventually, Che ended up curled against Kim's chest. He rested his face in the crook of Kim's neck, like Kim always did to him. His scent was strong here, and Che loved it. Every so often, Che would drop a kiss on Kim's shoulder, simply because he could. Kim was stroking his hair. He was gentle about it, careful not to tug. "You've been quiet," Che murmured.
"Waiting for you to ask."
Che craned his neck so he could see Kim's face. It was very intentionally calm. "Ask what?" Kim lifted one of his shoulders in a shrug that wanted to be more casual than it was.
"I'm sure you have 100 questions."
Che settled back on Kim's lap so he could see his face without cracking his neck. Tragically, it meant that Kim's hand stopped petting his hair.
"I mean, not really. Should I?"
"Anyone else who lived through the 24 hours you did would have a lot of questions for me."
Che was a weird person. He knew that. He was aware that his early alpha presentation, and basically everything else about his life, counted as trauma. He diagnosed himself with several anxiety disorders, and probably some kind of attachment disorder. Che knew he should have questions for Kim.
"You want to be doing this with me, at least for now, right?"
Kim nodded. Che burrowed into Kim's chest again.
"Then we're good."
Kim tightened his grip on Che.
"You don't want to ask how my Omega is such a whore when I haven't even kissed anyone?"
"Language,"
Che said reflexively. Kim snorted. Che would do a lot of things for Kim, but this was something he couldn't let go.
"Hey, for real. Also, I have no idea what you're talking about. What on earth does my Omega mean?"
Che made a face.
"It sounds like the title of a bad romance novel."
The casualness in Kim's voice was absolutely fake when he said,
"You know, that part of yourself."
"You mean when you can feel your instincts?"
"Sure,"
Kim agreed, in a way that wasn't really agreement. Che could feel him getting tense, so he ran his fingers along Kim's arms. Kim's body relaxed a little under his touch.
"But, I mean, it's all you,"
Che said, feeling his way cautiously through this confusing conversation. He wasn't quite following.
"Like Wick is you, right?"
Kim stirred restlessly.
"Sure."
Che thought about the dichotomy between the innocence of Kim's kisses and the practiced surety of his hands. Kim had come back last night smelling of strangers. He'd scrubbed his skin like he wanted to rip it off. He spat the word Omega like he hated it. Che couldn't help kissing him again, this time to hide that his lips were trembling.
"I like all of you,"
Che said helplessly, because it was true, and because he didn't know what else to say.
"I didn't mean to make you cry."
"You didn't."
Che wiped his eyes.
"I just really care about you. That's all that matters to me."
Kim opened his mouth, then closed it again without a word. He brought Che in for another kiss instead. It was all right. Che could hear what he meant loud and clear.
"Do you want to talk about anything?"
Che asked when the kiss was done. Kim gave him a look.
"Yeah, all right. Silly question."
Che wanted to go back to that lightness from before. He liked seeing Kim happy.
"Then we need to address an important issue."
Kim tensed.
"What?"
Che poked him in the chest. You owe me royalties, mister. You played my song during your live stream and didn't pay a licensing fee. Kim started breathing again. Some of the playfulness returned to his face.
Technically, it's a collaboration now.
I still think I could sue you and win. Kim settled his hands on Che's hips, not to start anything, just seeming to want to touch him.
You make a strong case, he said seriously. Perhaps I could propose a deal?
Yes, there was the teasing Che had been angling for.
What kind of deal?
You drop the lawsuit, Kim said, and I give you anything you want.
You're terrible at negotiating.
Kim looked at him with those eyes that were so full of emotion.
I'm really not.
I tried to save you from yourself, but you leave me no choice, Che said grandly. I accept. Lawsuit dropped.
Kim smiles back, small and expectant.
Now tell me what you want most.
What Che wanted most was absolutely the product of his own aforementioned trauma. He would not be telling Kim that, thank you very much.
Che lunged forward and pecked his lips.
I already have what I want.
We had a deal.
Kim tightened his hold on Che's hips.
Tell me.
Che laughed through his growing unease. Honestly, P. Kim, I'm fine.
Is this like the guitar? It doesn't have to be something expensive.
Wow, did that hurt to admit? It looked painful for you. Kim was frowning at him now.
Che dropped his eyes.
He was fidgeting in Kim's hold, and Kim was not letting him go.
Okay, okay. Buy me ice cream.
That's not it, Kim said, frustrated. Poor Che. I thought you liked things that are true. Tell me something true.
I don't want to be alone when Porsche leaves again.
Che slapped his hand over his mouth.
Really, words? Why this?
Kim had stopped frowning.
Then I'll stay with you.
What? No, no, I didn't mean to say it like that. I'm fine. I'm totally fine, P. Kim. You don't have to.
I said you could have anything, Kim said, unconcerned.
He looked content, rubbing his thumbs over Che's hip bones.
Unless you don't want me with you?
That was such an unfair question.
Like Che would ever say that. You've got things to do.
I can do them with you around.
The longer I stay, the more everywhere is going to smell like an alpha.
I've slept at your place twice already. It was fine.
Che was feeling mildly hysterical.
Yeah, but the first time I'd scrub my scent off everything, and the second time, there were extenuating circumstances.
Kim became very still under him.
You cleaned your house because of the scent? For me?
Yeah, of course. Don't try to change the subject.
Kim's mouth was back on him, nipping his lips like he wanted to draw blood, like he wanted to mark Che as his own. Che shuddered under it.
Don't do it again, Kim growled. I like how you smell.
What else was Che supposed to do but kiss him back?
Discounting the fact that Che had laughed at his first attempt to kiss him, Kim felt that the afternoon could be counted a success.
It was finishing up with Che cooking while Kim stayed out of the kitchen. Apparently Kim couldn't be trusted regarding proper nutrition because people need more than fruit to live, Kim.
Whatever.
Kim felt too light to care about much of anything other than the fact that Che had been kissing him several minutes ago and would most likely kiss him again. Kim didn't want to think about anything other than Che's warm, insistent mouth and the sounds he made when Kim explored it. So, of course, that was when the outside world came calling. His phone started playing an outdated K-pop song. He looked at Tankoon's name flashing on the screen and blamed Che for why he didn't immediately decline the call. Kim was getting greedy. He'd had Che for less than 24 hours, and he was already wondering what else he could have. He answered the phone. "Hey." Over the phone, Tankoon spluttered.
"What? Who? Huh?"
Kim pinched the bridge of his nose and fought a smile.
"I'm sorry. I'm just in shock that my littlest brother actually picked up the phone."
Tankoon's voice was not as gleeful as Kim had thought it would be. In fact, despite the teasing words, he sounded heavy. Kim's good mood snuffed out like a candle flame. "What's wrong?" Tankoon sighed gustily.
"I always so nosy."
"You called me." Tension curled through Kim's body, forcing him up off the couch. He moved so he could have a sightline into the kitchen, just to see Che and be sure he was safe. Che was stirring something in the wok, singing to himself. Kim stared at him while he said, "Kun, what's happening?"
"We found out who tried to kidnap Kin and Porsche."
"The Italians?" Tankoon paused.
"I know you won't tell me how you know that, so I'm not going to ask."
"Careful, Kim. Careful." Tankoon's eyes saw more than he let on. "Why are you telling me this?"
"Did Chan text you about it?"
Adrenaline bolted up Kim's spine. Tankoon was not supposed to know about those texts and what happened after. He couldn't know. "Chan never texts me." Che turned around, chopsticks in one hand, a question in his eyes. Whatever he saw on Kim's face was enough for him to turn off the stove and move towards him.
"Kin is fighting with Papa about it right now," Tankoon said. "Maybe that means he's winning."
"No. No, no. How did they find out?" Kim's heart was beating out of his chest. He felt cold. "Tankoon," he snarled, "tell me what the fuck is going on. Right now." Che had reached him. He didn't try to touch him, which was a good thing, because Kim wasn't sure what he'd do. Che's scent wrapped around him, and he breathed it in gratefully, trying to use it to calm his racing heart.
"The Minor family figured out it was the Italians before we did, so Vegas is leading the mission. He has a condition."
Tankoon's voice was disgusted.
"He wants you on the strike team, and Papa agreed, so obviously that's a problem."
Kim's legs literally went weak with relief. "Fuck," he breathed, letting the world settle back into something manageable. Vegas, he could handle. He leaned against the kitchen wall and listened to Tankoon completely misunderstand him.
"I know, Nong. Kin's working on it, okay? Papa's being, well, don't worry, we'll take care of everything. I wanted to warn you not to pick up any calls from the house. Don't let anyone pressure you."
This, right here, was why Kim never picked up Tankoon's calls. It was too much. Che's hand slipped into his.
"It's fine. I'll do it," Kim said, making his voice as steady as possible.
It must not have been steady enough.
"Kim, honey,"
Tankoon said, in a gentle sing-song.
Kim, Kimmy, Kim Han, my sweet baby bird of a brother, you absolutely will not.
Horrifyingly, Kim's eyes filled with sudden tears. He squeezed his eyes shut to keep them inside, but he could still feel them clogging his throat. Che rubbed his thumb over Kim's knuckles in a grounding rhythm. It helped him focus just as much as hearing Tancoon's rambling over the line. He swallowed down the emotion and let his brother's words flow over him.
Just like one of my series, actually. The main character was a Chaebol heir, and his mother built a robot that looked just like him, and...
Vegas had never brought Kim into his games before. If he was changing his strategy, it couldn't mean anything good. "I want to do it," Kim interrupted. It was even the truth. "This is Vegas making some kind of move, and I want to know what he's up to."
"You know Vegas's little plots never work,"
Tancoon said dismissively.
"Leave it to Kin. He'll put him back in his place."
"Kin gets stupid around Vegas."
"Kim."
"I'm doing it. You can't stop me." Tancoon paused.
"I know I can't."
He sounded so sad that Kim immediately wanted to go to him and cover him in blankets or plushies or whatever Tancoon liked. Since he couldn't do that, Kim tugged Che a little closer. The boy was watching him with concern, but he let Kim flip their hands to press their scent glands together at the wrist.
"It's fine. Tell Kin to stand down before he gets his head bitten off."
"Kin's tougher than you think he is. And now he's got a secret weapon that starts with a P and is also a type of car."
"Ugh."
"Ugh,"
Tancoon agreed.
"Okay, fine. I tried. I told Kin you wouldn't listen. He's going to be very grumpy that I couldn't convince you, so you'd better come visit me as an apology."
"We'll see."
"Rude."
Tancoon's mood flipped suddenly to levity, and that way his moods could.
"All the work I do for you, and this is the thanks I get."
Kim wanted him to keep sounding amused, so he made his voice saccharine and said,
"Thank you, P."
It was worth it just to hear Tancoon splutter some more. Che had caught the decrease in tension and was mirroring it, but he didn't let go of Kim's hand.
"Anyway,"
Tancoon declared once he was done choking,
"now that business is out of the way, we can move on to more important things, like that truly thrilling live stream of yours today."
Kim was caught between a feeling of warmth that his brother watched his live streams, and dread that Tancoon had watched that particular live stream.
"My publicist made me do it."
"You really do not pay poor Sprite enough,"
Tancoon mused. That was probably true.
"And you are not wiggling your way out of this. I saw your face. Who on earth do you have stashed away in your apartment who can make you laugh like that?"
"No one," Kim said instinctively.
Che looked at him inquisitively. He still had a dish towel slung over one shoulder and a bit of sauce near his ear.
"Oh my god, are they there right now?"
Tancoon squealed. Kim hesitated just a second too long.
"Aw, Kim!"
"Let it go," he said,
without much hope. He rolled his eyes at Che, and Che giggled.
"I will never let it go,"
Tancoon vowed.
"I want to meet them!"
"Nope."
"Yep, bring them to stay with me when you come."
Kim scoffed.
"Like how I will."
Tancoon's voice stayed playful, but he was insistent when he said,
"Kim, if you're going to be gone, you really should bring them to stay with me."
Shit.
Tancoon had a point. If Vegas really was making a move against their family, anyone connected to Kim wasn't safe. Che was even more vulnerable than Tenkun realized, because Vegas knew who Che was and how important he was to Porsche. Vegas might even have an inkling of how important Che was to Kim. Despite the fact that he lived in their family's home, Tenkun's rooms were still the most secure place Kim knew. There was literally nowhere else Kim had access to that Vegas couldn't breach.
If I bring him, Kim said slowly, Korn can't know.
Sure.
Tenkun, listen to me. Our father cannot know. He can't even suspect.
Ah.
Tenkun hummed a little, thoughtfully.
All right, then. Yep, I can manage that.
If Tenkun said he could do it, he could. Kim didn't trust much, but he trusted that.
You'll keep him with you the whole time?
Of course! Why would he want to leave? My suite is the most awesome place in the whole compound!
Che tugged on Kim's hand. P. Kim, are you talking about me? What's going on?
Is that him?
Tenkun shrieked. Kim winced and held the phone away from his ear.
He sounds adorable! Oh, put me on speaker!
Later, Kim said.
Che was looking unsure, and he had to deal with that.
See you soon.
Kim Han, Thirapanukul, if you hang up on me, I swear!
Kim disconnected and pocketed the phone. Che immediately put his arms around him. Is everything okay? Kim pressed his nose into Che's hair and breathed him in.
You know how Porsche told you our family business is complicated?
Che laughed, kind of sadly.
Let me guess, it just got more complicated?
My brothers need me for a few days.
I see.
Kim had promised Che he'd stay with him barely an hour ago, and here he was, leaving. Kim said his next words very quietly into Che's hair.
If you say that I... If you tell me to...
It's your choice, not mine, Che said firmly. Is it going to be dangerous? Kim was a liar, born and bred.
No.
And why were you talking about bringing me somewhere?
Tenkun wants to meet you.
Che let Kim go and pulled away to look at him. He had a wry kind of smile on his face. Kim didn't like that smile, so he invented an explanation that he thought might make it go away.
I know you said you didn't want to be alone, so I thought the two of you could keep each other company for a few days while I work.
Che's smile twisted even more. P. Kim, I'd rather you not say anything than lie. If Kim told the truth about the situation, Che might figure out what he'd gotten himself into and run away like he should have done in the beginning. Kim was already lying to Che about so much, he shouldn't be adding to the list. But when he opened his mouth, the words wouldn't come. He had no idea how to talk about any of this.
Tell me something true, Che suggested. Anything.
Che didn't look angry, exactly. But the giddy happiness that had been on his face and in his scent all day had vanished. He looked like a person who hadn't slept well the night before, whose life had been disrupted and upended. He'd been almost killed this week.
Something true.
You need to be safe.
That untwisted Che's mouth, at least.
I want you to be safe, too.
No, Kim said, stilted.
civilians were impossible to communicate with.
I mean, yes. But also no. If you're in trouble, Porsche is compromised. If Porsche is compromised, Kin is compromised. If Kin is worried about his Omega, he's going to make stupid mistakes and everything will go to shit.
Oh. See, this was what happened when Kim told the truth. He should have just let Che think he was being romantic. But then, Che grinned. It was quick, just a hint of sunshine in a storm. Do I compromise you, too? Kim was trying very hard not to think about that, because if he did, he might leave Che's life forever out of sheer terror.
What do you think?
Che looked pleased. That's so sweet.
It sucks, Kim said, because Che wanted honesty.
Che turned positively smug. He wiggled a little closer. Aw, poor P. Kim. So many feelings. So excruciating.
Are you enjoying this?
Kinda. Che's grin showed his teeth before it disappeared. Sorry, no. I'm not enjoying you being stressed out, obviously. Che leaned forward to nuzzle Kim's cheek for a few seconds, a brush of reassurance. It's just nice to feel, important to you, I guess.
You're more ruthless than you look, aren't you?
No! Che protested, burying his face in Kim's shoulder. I didn't mean to be mean! Ignore me!
Ruthless isn't a bad thing.
Maybe we match, Che said. On the surface, it was laughable to compare Kim's blood-soaked brand of protection with the bundle of sweetness in his arms. But Che had taken out three attackers with only his voice, and he hadn't cared that Kim had killed them. He also clearly didn't mind watching Kim squirm, if he was the one making him squirm. Interesting. So, I'm going to stay with your brother to keep everyone safe, Che said, bringing them back to the matter at hand. And your father can't know. Kim pressed Che's head further into his shoulder, almost crushing him.
If my father comes, you hide. Do not let him see you. Promise me.
I promise, Che said, muffled into Kim's shirt.
This is a bad idea.
No, let me up. Kim released his grip so Che could look him in the eye. This is how I can help. Besides, I want to meet your brother. And while I'm there, maybe I can see Porsche, too? There was so much hope in his face. Kim would pry Porsche out of Kin's arms if he had to.
Yes.
Che lit up. Okay, then let's go. Unless there was anything else? Kim wanted to tell Che that no one had ever preferred his silence over his pretty lies. He wanted to explain that he was very interested in seeing how ruthless Che could get. He wanted to say, you could order me not to go, and I might even like it. Impossible. His Omega had some ideas about communication that didn't involve words, though. It nudged him for attention, gentler than usual. Kim hated to feel grateful to his Omega for anything, but he couldn't deny that, yeah, this would get his point across. Kim leaned forward and put his mouth on Che's neck, right over his scent gland. Che went boneless in his arms immediately, pushing closer. Kim. Kim scraped his teeth over the spot so he could taste the oils from his skin. Che rewarded him with a full-body shiver. Kim might not have known how to kiss, but he did know how to leave bruises. He sheathed his teeth and sucked a claim into Che's skin. "Oh my God," Che gasped. "Kim." Every time Che used his actual name, it felt like a bolt of lightning. He nipped at Che's neck.
Kim.
Yeah. Che's fingers tangled in his hair and held his mouth where it was.
Kim, Kim, Kim.
Kim groaned into Che's neck. He'd never had the urge to leave a mark on anyone before, but he felt it now. He wouldn't bite, obviously. Kim wasn't that kind of bad person. A mating bite was forever. There were some married couples who didn't even have them. It was as close to something sacred as Kim believed in.
"You can do it," Che murmured,
his throat vibrating with the words.
"You don't even have to let me bite you back."
That snapped Kim back to his senses, and he jerked away.
"Che, what the fuck?"
Che was bright red, but he thrust out his chin stubbornly.
"What?"
Kim was so rarely the voice of reason that he found himself second-guessing.
"Did you just say you'd let someone give you a one-sided mating bite?"
"No," Che said doggedly. "I said I'd let you do that."
"Wow."
Yep, that was as upsetting as Kim had thought.
"It's not okay. Don't offer that to anyone."
Che shrugged. It was not a repentant shrug.
Poor Che.
"Either way, it looks like you're not going to, so we can go," Che said quickly. "Can we stop by my place first? I want to get my stuff." Kim only had room for so many crises at a time. He had a murderous cousin to deal with, brothers to save, and a boyfriend to smuggle into Tancoon's rooms. He did not have the capacity to dive into Che's messed up sense of boundaries. For now, he would just have to bring some propriety to this relationship. Did that make Kim the responsible one? Holy shit. They were so fucked. Author's notes. This just in. Local boy not as normal as people think. Kim was getting greedy. He'd had Che for less than 24 hours, and he was already wondering what else he could have.
"Baby. Baby, you deserve to be loved."
"Fuck these planes. Why are there so many fucking planes at my house?" This, right here, was why Kim never picked up Tancoon's calls. It was too much.
"He's overwhelmed by the fact that his brother cares about him and, like, tells him, like, it's okay to not do these things and, like, you need to be safe. And you shouldn't be pressured into this because he has made a reality for himself where that is not true. And he can't let anything break that because that is how he survives. So he can't bear them talking to him like that."
"My boy!"
"It's fine. I'll do it," Kim said, making his voice as steady as possible.
"I'm gonna fucking cry at this."
"Kim, Kimmy, Kim Han, my sweet baby bird of a brother, you absolutely will not."
"I'm gonna cry!"
Che looked at him inquisitively. He still had a dish towel slung over one shoulder and a bit of sauce near his ear. He's so cute and perfect. I want to bite him. Kim might not have known how to kiss, but he did know how to leave bruises.
I'm gonna scream and cry and throw up!
Reader's notes. This chapter almost made me fucking cry. Kim and Che being sad little traumatized boys fills me with many feelings. When they just don't know how to relate to people, and, like, they hurt, and Kim doesn't know how to receive love, and is purposely trying to distance himself from the love that he knows people feel for him, because it doesn't feel safe. Ah! Also, Tenkun is really interesting to voice. I, like, have to wildly gesticulate the entire time. Hopefully I didn't bump my mic at any point, and he doesn't sound ridiculous. Yep. I'm so excited to keep reading. I can't believe I'm halfway through. This is so fun to read. Bye.